been making a commitment to you that, and I'll continue that, that I'll preach only as long as the Lord has me preach, and when He tells me to hush up, I'll hush up. But if He tells me to keep going, I'll keep going. Now, I remember the story one beautiful Sunday morning, a pastor announced to his congregation, "My good people, I have in my hand three sermons. I have a $10,000 sermon that lasts 5 minutes. I have a $5,000 sermon that lasts 15 minutes. And a $1,000 sermon that lasts a full hour. Now, we'll take the collection and I'll see which sermon you'd like to have." I think they got $25,000 that day. Or the lady, what was the story? The lady, she visited the church, and her name was Gladys Dunn. And she was visiting a church for the first time, and after the service, as the congregation was exchanging greetings, she extended her hand to a parishioner and said, "Hi, I'm glad he's done." And the parishioner said, "I'm glad he's done too." Some of you will get that one tomorrow. That's all right. Well, I'm going to talk to you today and ask you the question, why are we settling as a church for the crumbs of God's Word, the crumbs of what's available? We could only see clearly this morning how we as individuals and as a church are settling for the crumbs spiritually in our lives and as a church, when we could have a full steak dinner with baked potato, bread, and dessert spiritually. When I was a child, eating a big meal at my grandparents'. Now, my grandparents lived in near Nashville, Tennessee, in a little area called Pegram, Tennessee. It's a little area outside of West Nashville, I believe. Pegram, Tennessee. And my grandmother would set a big, long table, dining room table, and she'd put all kinds of food, a buffet, you know, the whole Thanksgiving thing. And she would go all out, putting all the little china and the little doilies that hold the napkins. I was scared. When I was a kid, I was scared to touch anything for fear I'd break something. But she'd set all that up. And for the adults, they would have a place at the dining room table. For the kids, there was a little table. Y'all ever had to sit at the little table? The little children's table? How many of you still sit at the little children's table? Well, I had to sit at the children's table. There were five of us kids, and me and my sister were the two youngest, and so we sat at the little kids' table for the longest time. And I always hated that, because I can remember that I wasn't at the real table. I wasn't getting to hear the adult conversation. They would usually put me and my little sister at that table. We'd kind of hang out there and eat, and kind of lean over and try and catch whatever we could of what was going on at the big people's table. They would have us on a little TV dinner table, whatever those are called. Y'all remember those back in the day. A little TV stand. And that's where the kids would sit, off away from the grown-ups. We could hear the conversation. We were near them. But it wasn't the same. Now, my dad used to tell me that when he was a kid, when they set up some kind of buffet line and all that kind of stuff, Thanksgiving and Christmas, the kids would always be the last in line. Have y'all noticed how that switched around and the kids go first now? They didn't do that when he was a kid. The kids went last, and he said, if we were having turkey or chicken or something, he said by the time the kids came through the line, there wasn't a whole lot left. You might get a wing or a leg or something like that. Or you might get a little last biteful of, you know, those choice casseroles that somebody, your great aunt so-and-so would make, that special thing you were looking forward to. There might be a biteful for the kids. And usually, in my case, my grandmother made plenty, and we always got to get what we needed. There was a bite or two of some little morsel casserole. We always had enough to eat, but sometimes we didn't get enough of what we wanted, the rich, good food that had been specially prepared. We were sitting there nearby as kids, and we were eating what they were eating, but maybe a little less, and some of the lesser types of food, and we were off from the main group. And it sometimes felt like you really weren't a part of the whole gathering. And I remember that very clearly. I know they didn't have enough room at the dining room table, and I understand why it had to take place. I just didn't like it. All right? Let's go there. I didn't like it. Sadly today, Christians are spiritually eating at the side table. We're eating at the side table. We're getting table scraps, crumbs, whatever is left. Crumbs. We are there. We're eating, but we're not truly part of the main body. We're kind of getting a little leftover conversation. We're getting, spiritually, crumbs. Leftovers. Crumbs are the least desirable of what you prepare. They are what is left over. Nothing compared to what God has in store for us as faithful people of God. Crumbs is all we're getting. No one goes to a restaurant and says, "I'll have an order of crumbs, please." Now, when I go to, there's a place I like to go, and you can hold your reservations for this place later, but I like to go to Skyline Chili. And when I go there, they bring you out a little thing of, and I don't even know what kind of crackers they are. They're little round, little, and I love those crackers. So I'll usually ask for an extra set of those, but I'm unusual. Nobody usually goes to Skyline Chili and orders the crackers before they order the chili. First thing I say, I want extra crackers. Go ahead and bring them on. But most people don't like the crumbs. They want the main course. Of course, then there are those of you who are vegetarians. And I pray for you folks. I don't know that we haven't started a help session for you, but we'll get there. I do like to eat vegetables, and I encourage that. If you want to go on some kind of diet, vegetables are great. I like vegetables. I like a good slice of carrot cake, good old zucchini bread, and pumpkin pie. I mean, vegetables, right? That's my idea of eating good vegetables. All right? But we as Christians are spiritually eating at the little table. We eat the barest of spiritual meals sometimes even at home. God's Word sits on the coffee table. Or worse, it sits in a closet collecting dust. It has inside its words, inside those pages, it has rich spiritual meals. And we're going home and we're spending all week starving to death spiritually. But we think we're in good shape. We see something spiritual on Facebook and we consider ourselves spiritually fed. I saw something good on Facebook. I got it for the week. I'm good to go. We eat the barest of meals sometimes at church, even here in this building. The church today and all quarters of our good nation and our world, they offer endless programs whereby you can have Bible studies, worship times at all different kinds of times, prayer times, sharing times. But here's what happens. We choose to sit out. We choose sometimes when things are offered, we stay at home and we sulk alone. And we'll sit at home, we'll spend hours looking, browsing in the internet or whatever, what the world has to offer out there. And we put our minds on standstill from what God's Word says. There are books we have even on our own shelves about God's words and the life of the Christian. And they sit on our shelf while we sit there and take in whatever soap operas or TV or whatever the world has to offer. And all those rich spiritual meals are sitting there and we're starving spiritually. We're eating crumbs. There are moving spiritual programs. I'll go ahead and say this. There are moving spiritual programs on the internet, on TV. There's different things. There's DVDs we can purchase that are powerful and moving. I happen to like some of those Gaither videos. I enjoy some of those things. I like to watch Sunday afternoon. I watch Adrian Rogers at 3 p.m. Or I record it. I have it on the DVR. And I get to watch that spiritual. So I have a spiritual meal here on Sunday morning, and then Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m., I get a little snack. Of course, I'm going to say with Adrian Rogers, it's not a snack. It's a big old meal. He provides rich spiritual food. So why do we settle for crumbs in our spiritual life? Let's look at a little bit of what God's Word says. Proverbs 8:32-36. "Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways." Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and they that hate me love death. Then we step to Malachi 3:10. Says, bring you all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be not be room enough to receive it. And I'm going to tell you, when I would go down and spend time at my grandparents', every year one of my favorite things was to be there when all the family gathered together. Now, sometimes that can be a little stressful. Are you with me? All right. But when I was a kid, I didn't catch all that. That's the great part of being a kid. You don't know about all the stress and all the little side things that are going on. And this family member doesn't want to talk to this family member. And this family member is mad at this family member. When you're a kid, you don't know all that. All you know is grandma and grandpa and the aunts and uncles. They're all together. And they're pinching your cheeks and saying, look how you've grown. And they make you feel so special. I used to love to go down there, have that big meal. And then for dessert, my grandmother, she was one of these southern women. If you saw her and you saw how she put on a dinner table and all the wonderful things she did, china, and she set a perfect table. She went to some school for this, all right? I didn't know you could go to school for that, but back finishing school or something they called it, she could put on a dining room table. She could do all those things. And she was, you know, one of these, I didn't call her grandma, I called her grandmother, because she was a very, carried herself in a special way. But then she'd open her mouth and she was all southern. Something would happen, she'd say, well, law. And we'd just get tickled hearing that. But she would, after that big meal, an hour or so later, she'd put on the coffee and put on beverages, and she would put on homemade boiled custard and serve, and this is why I like it to this day, her special recipe of coconut cake. Coconut cake homemade with boiled custard. And the boiled custard would be in these little silver glasses. Y'all know what I'm, not silver, but the transparent glasses in a big punch bowl. I'm talking, you know, they used to say put on the dog. She'd put on the dog. And it was a wonderful time for my family. We had really neat times. And my grandparents had a big old house, and they had a pool table in the basement. And after we'd have the dessert, we'd all go down the basement and shoot pool and just have a wonderful family time. And here's the problem. All these things we have spiritually in the church and all the fellowship we can have, and we choose not to be a part of it. We just said, no, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to step aside. All I need is just what little I get on Sunday morning. I just want that little crumb, that little snippet. And we go and starve all week, both spiritually, but we also starve from fellowship, being with God's people. Sometimes I have people that tell me, we talked to that waiter the other day, and he ran the church down for 10 minutes talking about all the bad things about the church. And then the next thing he said was how lonely and depressed he was. And I wanted to say, young man, you got to flip that around. You're putting everything aside and behind you and getting all of the good things out of your life, and all that depression and all that loneliness is hitting you because you've put the church aside. And I'm not putting the church up as it's the heal-all, do-all, everything. But if you have absolutely removed the church and God and God's people from your life, you are, as a Christian, you're going to be miserable. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If we put him first, he's going to add all these blessings to us. Blessings below come from above. The ones we get here, they come from him. Remember that. Blessings come when we do it his way, not our way. Elvis used to sing a song, and I think Frank Sinatra used to sing a song, I did it my way. And we sing that our whole lives. We sit there and say, I'm going to do it in my way. And then when we get miserable enough and everything's falling apart and our kids are going the wrong direction and we're miserable, we say, okay, now I got to stop doing it my way. I got to do it His way. And then we come around and we realize, seek ye first is the right way to go. Isaiah 58:8-9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. It's the work of the church to provide rich, nourishing, spiritual meals. And I, as a pastor, one of the things I'm trying to create is an environment where we have rich spiritual meals week after week, midweek, Sunday, sometimes other times as we can plan various things. I want to have a rich supply of times when people can get those spiritual meals. But if you're not going to partake of this, I'm going to tell you, you're going to starve for those spiritual meals. John 6:51 says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. For the life of the world. To consume a meal, there are a couple requirements. Let's step through this. What it takes to consume a meal. First of all, to consume a meal, it's very easy to say, we need to show up. Okay? To consume a meal, we need to show up. I can remember one time we were traveling many years ago, and we were driving up to some really close friends when I was a kid, and they lived in Farmington Hills, Michigan. And I'm going to tell you, that's one of the coldest places on this planet. It's a cold place up there in Michigan. Anybody ever lived in Michigan? I lived there for 1 year, and it was rather cold. Farmington Hills, Michigan. We were going to have Thanksgiving dinner with some very close friends. They were actually a church family that had moved there that my dad served with in Tennessee. And they had moved to Farmington Hills, Michigan, and over time they had kept that relationship sweet, and we decided to have Thanksgiving together. And so we got in the car, and we took off, and we were in the station wagon. And mind you, in the station wagon, I was in that back seat. And I want to go ahead, and I was in that back seat that looked out the back window. Y'all remember that? And we used to have a time in those station wagons. Now, there were five of us kids in that station wagon, and one of our favorite things is we'd get to singing. We would sing all these old, you know, camp songs. I call them camp songs. They're different kinds of songs. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. We would just have a time just singing. We would sing, and the thing about singing, my mom and dad would encourage us to sing because we didn't misbehave, okay? We didn't ask 18 times, are we there yet? All right? And we used to, I'll tell you, we used to come by. There was a place we used to drive by as you got near Tennessee. It was always exciting because when you got near this Oscar Mayer plant, it told you you were getting close to wherever we were going. If we were going to my grandparents, it told us we were getting close. And when we would get to, and we'd see that Oscar Mayer plant, we would all strike up that commercial. Oh, I wish I were an Oscar Mayer. And that was our tradition every year. Now, they have taken that plant, and it's no longer there. But if I drive by there to this day, I'm singing that song. My kids are saying, Dad, why are you singing that song driving by that place? I said, it used to be an Oscar Mayer plant. And that's what we'd always sing. So I had, you know, there was a little thing in my brain that said, start singing. So I'd sing that song, but we were heading to Farmington Hills, Michigan. Here comes the snow. Snow is coming down. It's coming down, and I'm talking, you know, it was during the late 70s. Y'all remember some of those snowstorms? It was coming down. We couldn't get through. We were driving, and that station wagon was doing the best it could, but we were creeping along at 5 miles per hour, sometimes getting stuck. But eventually, she kept the dinner warm. Eventually, we got there around 8 o'clock Thanksgiving night. We showed up. and we had the meal. We were late. We struggled to get there. We did everything we could to get there, but we made it, and we were there for a meal, and we knew she'd have it ready. We were excited because we knew the moment we walked through that door, all of that labor of driving and stressing over the roads and all that, we had a good meal waiting. And I want to tell you, when you're spending the whole week struggling through the week, and it's a struggle sometimes to be here on Sunday morning, I'm planning and preparing all week to make sure I give you a good spiritual meal so that you're fed. Your Sunday school teachers are preparing so that you have a good spiritual meal. I make sure on Wednesday night I'm prepared with the book of James so that you're fed spiritually. Kathy's preparing a good physical meal so that you're fed. And we're having a great time. But that's what we have to show up. To consume a meal, second thing, we have to come to the table. Even though we're there, we have to actually come to the table and see what's there. Some won't come to the table. Matthew 22 talks about, it says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And we can extend invitations all day long, and you can say, well, I'm miserable. I don't have things in my life. I'm lonely. And we extend an invitation. If you're not coming, if you don't come to the table, you can't consume the meal. People will come to church. Here's the other thing. They'll come to church, and then during the worship time, they'll go find something else to do. They'll go clean something, or they'll organize a room in the church. They'll go offer to help in the children's area, even when help's not wanted sometimes. They'll do anything to avoid partaking of God's Word. And the standard line, oh, it's boring, oh, it's not this, it's not that, it doesn't do for me. Let me tell you, what we're doing here is for Him. It's not for us as much as it is to worship Him. And the blessings that come back when we do it for Him, it comes all back to us a hundredfold. You want to live a happy life, you make what you do for Him first. And don't make every service you attend, every church thing you go to, what's it going to do for me? I have people all the time, they will come in and say, I hope church has something for me today. I hope it moves me today or does something for me today. And I just want to cry and say, no. What have you got for Him? What are you bringing to Him? People all the time say, well, they don't have a program for me. And I want to say, well, go pray about it and start it. Start the program. If you got the heart for it, don't wait for someone to do it for you. Go start it. Say, Pastor, I got a passion. We need this ministry. Let me tell you something. You come to me and say, I got a passion and a vision for a ministry, I'm going to say, go. Green light. Let's reach out. Let's do what we need to do. They show up at church, but they don't come to the table where the food is being shared. When I was a kid, I'm going to tell you, it didn't matter where in the neighborhood I was. When Mama called and said supper was ready, this young man was bicycling as hard as he could go to get home and get to the table. Of course, he usually didn't have to call. I was usually already there waiting at the table. Anything I can do, Mom, to bring the food to the table so I could pick a little. As I brought it to the table, y'all know what I'm talking about. Nibble a little bit before everybody gets there. I came to the table. I was ready, willing, and ready for that good meal. But to consume a meal, the last thing we need to do is to process or digest the meal. Now you say, where is this preacher going with us this morning? I'm not going to spend a lot of time on digestion, okay? But we'll talk a couple things. There are all kinds of articles out there about how to digest human food. And I'm not an expert, but let's talk that you need. It says you need plenty of water. Makes sense. You need exercise. You need low fat in our foods. And they say to eat more fiber. The The stomach needs something to work with, and I'm going to leave it at that. All right? There are a couple things on how to digest spiritual food as well. All right? Plenty of prayer to go with what you just heard, to go with the spiritual meal that you just partook of. You're praying, Lord, how does that apply to me? You got to stop saying what I hear so many people saying. They'll hear a message, and it's so funny to hear it because I hear it so often, and preachers hear it all the time. You'll preach a message, and somebody will come up to you and say, boy, I wish my husband were here to hear that. I wish so-and-so had been here today. They needed to hear that message. Nothing ever applies to them. It's always so-and-so that didn't show up. Or they'll go to somebody, did you listen what the preacher said? As though they have no fault. Sometimes your family coming up to you. Did you hear what the preacher said? Calling you out at the dinner table if you're doing something the preacher didn't talk about. That's what happens. But to digest, plenty of prayer. Second thing to digest spiritually, exercise your faith in what you heard. It's not enough to simply hear everything here and then walk out and live the life as though you heard none of what God's Word says. It has to make an impact on our lives, and we step out of here. And you know what I'm talking about, and I struggle with it too. Becky, just yesterday we were driving, and I caught myself getting impatient with the driver ahead of me. And I said, come on, get out of the way. And I really had nowhere to go. I wasn't really in a hurry. Do y'all do that? You're not even in a hurry? And you're fussing at whoever is in front of you, acting like you have never been in church in your whole life and you're impatient about everything. You know, the light turns green and you're, go! And you got nowhere to go. You're not on a timetable. We were out there relaxed yesterday, having a time, just relaxing, going a couple places. And here I was, A.J. Rutledge, trying to get around town. Like I hadn't heard anything I'd even preached. Like I hadn't looked at God's Word. The other thing it says is spiritually we need to remove the fat in the Christian life. And all I'm going to say fat is input where a large dose doesn't serve us spiritually. Fat is our American focus on entertainment all day, all the time. We have too much fat spiritually in our lives. Internet banalities, excessive social media, soap operas, and I'm not talking about a couple of these things that they're necessarily wrong in and of themselves, but if that's all your input is, it's too much fat in your life, spiritually. What you partake and what you put in your heart, eventually that's what's going to come out. Psychologists, I've read somewhere that they basically say most of what you put in at some point is going to work its way out. Guess what happens when you put God's Word in your heart? Eventually it's going to start working its way out. And that becomes a natural thing. It becomes a natural thing that's what's going to come out. Rather than sometimes our anger, that anger and frustration at life that comes out naturally. The unnatural Spirit of God will start to come out if that's what we're dwelling on. To digest better, we also need spiritual food. We need more spiritual fiber. We need to stop consuming only the easy, sweet parts of Scripture. There are preachers on television that all they tell you is all the good things. And they'll tell you how great life can be. And they'll say, you're going to be somebody. And they never use the word repent. They never dig into what God's Word and tear into it and talk to you about your need to change because the core of the gospel has changed. If all we hear is the easy, sweet, and there are easy, loving, happy parts of Scripture. They're a good part of Scripture, but they're not the only part of Scripture. Scripture also teaches we need to repent. We need to confess to our Heavenly Father who is faithful and just. We only consume some of God's words. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." This message is just to say that we need to stop living on just the crumbs of our spiritual life. Live on the steak and potatoes of God's word in your life. Live on the good stuff. Show up. Come to the table. Digest it and be blessed by it. Put it to use in God's kingdom and be thankful and be in praise for it. One thing, this is why it's so dangerous for God's people to partake only of crumbs and not receive the nourishment from God's word. Because it is the word of God that rebukes the devil. It is the word of God that drives off the devil. It is the word that restrains my own flesh and your flesh. It is the word of God that builds my faith. And without it, I don't have faith. If we are not feeding on the word of God, listen, my friends, if we are not feeding on God's word, we have no defense against the devil. We have no willpower to say no to our own flesh who cries out to do the wrong thing. There's a lot of great things churches do, but there's no substitute for preaching and teaching of God's simple and plain full word. We don't need to take the crumbs. Abraham Lincoln said long ago, I love what he said, "We have forgotten the gracious hand which has preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us, and have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own." We look Satan in the face and sometimes act as though we are all powerful. And Satan goes about seeking who he may devour, and our only defense is God's word. And I'll close with this story that applies so well in how we interact with Satan. Because only through the precious blood of Jesus do we have the power over Satan. Do you understand that? There was a young lion who wandered from his father, and to test whether or not he would get the same respect from the other animals as his father did, the young lion approached some monkeys. And he roared and asked, "Who is the king of the jungle?" And the monkeys, being afraid, responded, "You are." The lion replied, "And don't you forget it." And that's kind of what we do. We walk around, "I'm king of this jungle, and don't you forget it." But the lion repeated this to each animal in the jungle and got the same response, until he came across a herd of elephants. The little lion roared and asked, "Who is the king of the jungle?" And the big bull elephant walked closer to the lion, swooped him up in his trunk, swung him around and around, and threw him into the river. Battered and wet, the little lion replied, kind of just like us, "Well, just because you didn't know the answer to the question didn't mean you had to get nasty about it." It's so simple. We just say, "Father, we're weak. Protect us. I praise you in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, protect me from my own temptation. Protect me from being who I am. And I cast my care upon you because you've promised in your word you care for me. And you've said in all thy ways I should acknowledge you. And what? You will direct my path." He promised us that. And we just have to acknowledge it and give it to him and say, Lord, I'm not the king of the jungle. I'm not the king of my life. I'm not the king of my family. I'm going to give that place to you and cast my care upon you and take what comes with you guiding me. And I'm going to tell you, if you do that, I can assure you of something. You will be one of the happiest people I know. Christian people who are dedicated and focused on what God wants in their life are happy, happy people. Father, we come to you this morning thanking you for what your word says. Lord, and that you have in every way provided rich spiritual meals in your word. And in every opportunity when we come to you, your promises bear this out. We can turn to you. We can cast our care upon you. We can repent. We can, no matter what sin is in our life, we know you forgive us. You will forgive us. You are there for us. We just need to acknowledge you, repent, come unto you, and believe and receive. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. If you are today hitting a point in your life, you need to come and accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You're just confused and you don't know where else to turn. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a promise. Make today the day of your salvation. Come forward and talk to me and we will rejoice with you. And if you have something in your life today you just need to pray about, these altars are here. I know our people will come and pray with you. If you need to come to a church, you're not a member of a church, and you want to join today, we'd love to welcome you into this fellowship. And if you just need to pray with me, come and talk to me about a couple things. I'm here at the front, ready to help you and pray with you. Happy to do so as we sing. Let's do that. Don't you love that hymn? Oh, how he wants to come in. Be seated, would you, for just a moment. Just a couple things to step through. I wanted to mention a special couple. I tell you what, I've been blessed triply today, all right? I had a Sunday school class sing happy birthday. And then the congregation sang happy birthday. And all I need now is some coconut cake. And it's, you know. All right. I wanted to mention my eldest son, David, is with us today. And he is a member of the worship praise team at Ormsby Heights. And they gave him a day off so he could be here to hear his dad. And I appreciate it. I want him to know he's made my day. That's the best gift you could give me. You don't have to do anything else, all right? We're going to have some time later on today. But when your kids come and bless you and be with you, isn't that a special, sweet time? I appreciate that so much. We have another special thing. Wendell Laquita, would you come up and stand with me? The personnel committee and I have been working. We've been stepping through the intern processes, and we have been working with Wendell and Laquita for a couple months, stepping through this process. And over the last couple weeks, we've done some interviews and talked through some things, and I wanted to announce to you, Wendell has joined our staff as an intern, and his wife, Laquita, and they're coming to put their membership with Rockford Lane today, and he has 37 years of ministry experience. He started when he was about 5 years old, and feels like it, doesn't it? His primary focus, we've already talked about, will be outreach, reaching our community for Christ. He and I are going to start doing some door-to-door evangelism and stepping into some of these homes and saying, hey, we've got an answer. We've got an answer to some of these problems that you're having. And the answer is Jesus. Amen? We just want to reach out and care and say, all who will come, we have an open door. We want to open these doors and reach this community. This community, this road, this area, they need a church just like this to stand strong in the midst of all that's going on. And that's what we want to be about. And I believe Wendell has some background and he has a passion for ministry that's going to make a tremendous difference. I'm going to ask in just a few moments that you come around and greet them and welcome them into our church family. And he will be starting with us almost immediately. We got a staff meeting coming up. We got to start talking through some things and get some plans together, and it's going to be good. Things are getting sweet, you all. I'm getting excited. Are you getting excited? It's getting exciting. God's doing something, and he has a plan. And I tell you what, I just don't want to get in the way. That's my only thing. I'm trying to stay out of the way. Lord, do what you want to do. I'm going to stay out of the way. And here I am talking and talking and talking. Isn't that just like a preacher? And they're all wanting to go to Golden Corral and get out of here. And here I am yapping, right? I guess you wanted that $10,000 sermon. Is that what we got in the collection plate? Did we get the $10,000? I could preach another 20 minutes if we need to. I'm just teasing. We also we have a couple of our prospective interns visiting with us today. We have been talking to them. So please make them feel welcome. We are talking through some things. So very shortly, we could see another one or two come on staff and be a part of us. And there, as we talked about for the last several months, their focus and goal is to help us to set up the ministry needs we have here. And I'm excited about that. I really am. Stand with me and we'll close. Did I miss anything? Did you have anything? Amen. And the website, we are uploading my messages each week. So Sunday afternoon at some point, the message is uploaded. So if you have trouble getting to sleep, just punch that right up and it'll put you right out. Just kidding. Good spiritual food, right? Amen. All right. Father, we come to you thanking you for this day. What a special day, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in the life of this church. You're providing us rich spiritual food, and we thank you so much for it. Thank you for those that stepped into this house today, our visitors. Help us to know how to love them and care for them. Lord, as we begin to reach this community, help us to stay out of the way and let you shine through us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Y'all come forward and greet this Wendell and Lewis and care for them.